Father in heaven, this is a great time to be alive. All the prophets and all the different apostles, they all look forward to this time period in Earth's history. Help us not to let it eclipse our attention. And I pray that this morning we will come together in unity like we haven't before, ever before, and that the Spirit of God will be here actuating the service today. I pray for Dean and I that we can serve you and serve this congregation here. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, our scripture reading is found in John, so let's get our Bibles. And the Gospel of John would be chapter 3. Is everyone chapter 3? And there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 words in there. And it will be verse 30. So it will be Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 30. All it says, he must increase, but I must decrease. And I'm going to read a little comment from Ellen. Desire of Ages, page 179, says, looking in faith to the Redeemer, John had risen to the height of self-abnegation. He sought not to attract men to himself, but to lift their thoughts higher and still higher until they should rest upon the Lamb of God. May God add a blessing to his reading today.
And that's where he went wrong. And he held on to that idea all the way to where he is ultimately going to end up and be responsible for and be the scapegoat at some point in the future. Pride of an idea. If I come to Robin with an idea, and then there is a whole psychology, spiritual, and just the mechanics of us and how an idea, a new idea is adapted, okay? But us by nature are really resistant most of the time to a new idea or to give up what? An idea. Especially if there's emotion attached to it. When emotion and intellect are going at it, guess who wins every time? Emotion. It really does. And I don't want to negate that that principle can't win out. I'm just saying, though, that typically emotion wins out. So a preconceived idea with a strong emotion, you're in real trouble if you're incorrect in that opinion or idea. Now, That's the first thing. And then, of course, as the receiver of an idea, the giver of an idea, whoa, you must have heard the story before of the pastor who was confronted by a Seventh-day Adventist, and they had a discussion. This pastor was a Baptist, Episcopalian, it doesn't matter. But after he shared a few things, the guy said, the Episcopalian said, I know that. I agree with this. Whether it was Sabbath or whatever it is, state of the dead, whatever. And he says, I agree with this. He says, well, why don't you do something about it? He says, because I have been presenting this, my particular or my understanding, for 45 years. You think I'm going to be able to go before the people and tell them now that I've been wrong? Yeah. Naive me says, yeah, embrace it and go forward with it regardless of the fallout, man. That's cool. Okay? What the other guy did was not cool. Here's another thing, the interaction between speaker and people. And that is that people, like myself, are attracted to follow a person. We like to follow someone else. It's natural. The natural man likes that. Do you know what I mean? What did Israel want to do all the time? They wanted to get rid of God. Not get rid of him, but you know what I mean. Replace him with a human. People love that. Even Israel loved that. We like to follow humans. We like to, if we're not a leader ourselves, but or we're on the grade, you know, of maybe a little lesser than leader than some of the strongest leaders, then we like to follow those who are stronger than us. Leading gives us direction. And people like direction. At least most people do. But there can be problems with that. We'll get into that in just a second. The other problem is that as soon as somebody steps up and shares an idea, And this is the new thought that came to my mind, and I hope I'm stating this as accurately and you're receiving it as accurately as I understood it when it was presented to me. And that is, as soon as an idea comes forward, the impress or the mold of man is ever there to try to impress it with its own limited ability, limited understanding, limited theological understanding. Carnal nature likes to impress itself upon whatever message or doctrine or whatever that is being presented. It happens automatically. And God is there to see that it doesn't happen. I'll explain to you in just a second what one of the ways he does this. Gurus, swamis, and that kind of relationship that we have, perhaps with an author, a teacher, or a preacher, has to be corralled or eliminated. Or when we get done here, I think you'll see what needs to be done. Okay, but I'm going to just use the word avoided. It needs to be avoided. The dangers of following an individual. Here's some of the, and we sometimes do it inadvertently. I mean, you know, who can fault Max Licato and his beautiful way of literizing, you know, the emotions and stuff? I'm not against any of these people. I have an opinion about these people as far as who I would choose to follow or not. But the problem is our nature just likes to make flesh its strength. The natural man likes to make flesh its strength. So we typically like to get a guru or a preacher or a teacher and not hide behind them, but make them our strength, you know? They said it, therefore it must be. We like to do that. There's a problem, though, with your own personal growth when you take one author and just can't wait till their next book comes out so that you can feed on it, okay? And that is that many times the message stops with the teacher. To go beyond the teacher is sometimes, many times, thwarted. It stops there. You can't go any further than with the teacher because the teacher's got to teach it. And you love the teacher and you love the message. So if all of a sudden I'm in Sabbath school and Ray says something to me from some other teacher, I may kind of cross my arms, right, Ray? Because I'm not prepared to take another teacher's teaching because I'm following this teacher and their doctrine. Listen, I don't know if you knew this or not, but I really love, and I still do to this day, really appreciate Jack Sequeira. Right or wrong, I do appreciate it. Now, I was misunderstanding on how this whole thing works too, and I did follow Jack, and I really did feel that Jack had a lot to say. And others did too. I was in the back here, and I remember someone who was following him around like a groupie, and what slipped out of his mouth, no one heard it except for me. He referred to him as Master Sequeira. And he even though he was beaming and stuff, he quickly corrected himself. It shouldn't necessarily shock us. This is just the way it is. It just came out of his mouth. And it just came out of his mouth. The other problem is that a message gets molded by the teacher. Again, the teacher's understanding of this is limited to his experience and his knowledge, time spent, and how, whether or not he's got it or not. I mean, there's possibility he's got maybe a half a dozen or a dozen or more things wrong with his message. He doesn't even know it or doesn't want to know it. Okay? You got the carnal nature working against it. It takes on the impress of a man. How do we avoid the impress of a man when we hear something we really, really like? That's what we're talking about here. And we can do it. We can do it. There is really very little encouragement for the student to investigate on their own beyond the confines of this teacher's doctrine. If there is, they're still attached to it, and they have to maintain, and it must be maintained, okay? A cloud of pressure or a confinement theologically contains any outside or further thoughts. I can name one religion that does this religiously, and that's Jehovah's Witness Church or movement. They contain everything. John Woods did the same thing, and some of us were confronted with that. He contained everything. He claimed to have doctrines, the truth, and everything, and people followed him, and he contained them. That's why the impressive man has got to be broken as this process moves forward to the second coming of Christ, and yet also get the job done. Okay? The job's got to get done, and it will get done. Usually when you're in this kind of like guru kind of relationship, you're welcome to explore what you've learned only within the confines of the written works of the teacher. Can't go any further. New light has to be okayed by the teacher. No one can be trusted to advance the message without the teacher's okaying it first. And unfortunately, teachers, preachers, pastors, gurus, swamis can block the light from the people. And it's been done in our church, and you can reference Mrs. White in regards to the 1888 message. We're reading the how many pages? 1,871 pages, and we're about 600 pages into it, and we're seeing this. Teachers can block the light. Why do they block the light? Because they're afraid. Do you know why the Baptists are afraid to let go of the eternal burning hell doctrine? Not because it's truth. Why? They're ultimately deep down inside. What's that? Control. If humans have a control issue by nature, how would that translate within Adventism? That's a question we can just ask. How can it? By feeling insecure when something new gets introduced, granted, we do stand by the waymarks. Absolutely. But it seems in the area of prophecy, and very much in the area of righteousness by faith, we should listen. It's not over with yet. There is old light that has tried to and will and is being brought forward again in new frameworks. We're not even talking old light. I'm sorry, new light. We're talking old light that will be as appear as new light. Okay. What happened was, is men who believed that they were doing right over 100 years ago stood in the way of that. And that can happen right now. I'm not trying to go into all that or blame them. I'm just saying, though, that we don't have to look to the Jehovah's Witnesses or the Catholics or anybody else out there. We can look right here and see it all happening within our midst and see the results of it. A delay, a long delay. We're still here. It's been a delay. Okay. Again, it is just as hard to give up a preconceived idea than it is to let the next man or generation take over and let the truth evolve. We have this problem. The GYC, is it? And it was your prayer that right. Will we get in their way? That's one thing. Will we get in their way and try to stop them even though we're encouraging them? How serious do we take them? You know, attaboy, but we know better. You know? It's hard to step out of the way. Let's go back to our friend John the Baptist. He is the model of how it's supposed to be done. Now, Christ's first advent had a prophet, actually had a series of prophets, but had a prophet in the time that he was to appear. He did a certain job. We'll go over that in just a second. And then Jesus appears. So the method that John the Baptist used, his attitude, would be the equivalent of the Seventh-day Adventist Church using that same model and same spirit in order to usher in not the first advent, but the second advent. Let's see what John did. John came before Christ. Okay? The church gets ready before Christ comes again. He had a message. We have a message. He prepared the way. We are to prepare ourselves, okay, with the Lord, and then prepare the way for others. He lived by example. And that's where we fail, I believe, the most. And I don't say that in a condemnatory way. I'm just saying as a matter of fact. Something we don't really want to talk about. We want to talk about how Moses may have failed, or someone else may have failed, or our neighbor failed, or maybe our brother in the church failed, but not us. You know, we don't want to talk about that. I think part of that is because we got maybe too many voices inside of us saying how lousy we are to begin with. You know what I mean? Let alone to fail on such a grand scale with such a huge, you know. But that's exactly what he wants us to do. He doesn't want us to be afraid at all to explore any part of this. Do you think those people in the upper room were just kind of like singing Kumbaya and eating bread during those 40 days before Pentecost? I'm sorry, was it 40 days or 10 days? Help me out here. 40 days before Pentecost. What were they doing? They were confessing. Confessing. When was the last time we actually confessed to one another our faults? I mean, you know, it's scary to do that here. It's scary to do that. But that's going to change. It'll change. It has to. It has to. Okay, so John also did something that our church is told, supposed to do, and that is to stir up the people, rouse them, reprove of sin, confession, okay, get them broken down to basics, baptizing. He was baptizing them after they had a born-again experience, and he just got them ready so that the healing balm of Jesus Christ could come in on the Sermon on the Mount and just say, you are loved.
Amen.
You are loved. You just had a hard time with John the Baptist. Okay, now you're ready. Let's talk. I want to tell you how much I love you, and this is how it looks. And I want to show you how it looks when you love somebody else. It's not just an eye for an eye, okay? There's more to this than that. Here's the point, or one of the points. So what happened to John then? What happened to John? He baptized, he stirred, he prepared himself, and then he wrote a book and then did the circuit? No. He got a bunch of money from all the collections that he took, and he was able to buy a nice house and a Cadillac? No. He stepped aside. He stepped aside, folks. And he wasn't afraid. Do you think he had a feeling about that or an opinion about that as far as apart from what he needed to do? He might have. He might have had a feeling about this. A feeling. Like, I don't want to step down. What do dictators do? Do you think they like to step down? Do they ever step down? They're either ousted or they die. Bottom line, you want to know why? Because they're at the epitome of human existence, so to speak. And to step down is humiliating. For the most part. I know Castro did it, but I'm just saying for the most part. That's why you got 92-year-old leaders in China, you know, that had to die in office even though they were senile. The human heart does not want to step down. Jesus did, and so did John the Baptist. So John the Baptist's preconceived ideas or his opinions were really nothing as far as he's concerned. And his position was really nothing. He was willing to give that up. And his purpose and everything, it was very, very clear. Prepare the way for the first coming of Christ. Okay, here's the point. No one man can carry the work beyond a certain point. No one man can carry the work beyond a certain point. Winston Churchill, I don't know if anybody of you lived through, Bill? Yeah. Do you remember Winston Churchill? Yeah. Was he a great man? I mean, you know, as far as what he had to do. Bill, what happened after World War II to Winston Churchill? After the war was over with, Winston Churchill was irrelevant. Do you believe that? Do you know how insulting that is? He was England's salvation, and then after the war was over with, after the crisis was over with, Winston Churchill was irrelevant. John the Baptist, after Christ came, sad to say, was irrelevant. But it was okay. It's okay. Did that mean that Winston Churchill turned on England and said, "You owe me"? No. He loved England. Did John the Baptist turn on him? He had some questions. He's in prison. He's a little confused over this whole thing. Sends him some boys out. Says, go ask a couple of questions. And Jesus says, just go back to John and tell him what you see. Just tell him what you've experienced here today. So that's what they did. And then John dies. And then John gets killed. One is called to pick up like a baton, like in a relay team, and then pass it on forward to the next. And here's the reason why. When you do that, any mold of man is broken. The first time I heard this idea presented to me was by my friend, and you know him, he spoke a couple of years ago, J.P. O'Connor. J.P. and I were talking about Jones and Wagner. We were talking about how they were supposed to relate to the church back in the 1890s, 1880s. And I had this mistaken impression, this guru kind of mistaken impression, that the church would have followed Jones and Wagner because they had the truth. Ellen White says so. And if you read their books, you'll see what I'm talking about. JP introduced to me an idea that I had not heard before, and I heard it once, and this was about several months ago, and then I read something in the 1888 study materials that began this whole idea for this sermon today. And this is what JP said. He said, no, John. He says, people weren't to follow Jones and Wagner. Jones and Wagner had only the beginning showers of the latter rain. That message was supposed to go to the General Conference, and the General Conference, or the hierarchy of the church, was supposed to embrace it and take it and start them putting their two cents into it, and somebody else's two cents. And I'm not talking about man's impress. I'm talking about something where we're free from that as much as possible, with the Holy Spirit accepting light and then knowing what to do with it. I mean, Ray, you and I, say we understand some grand truth of the gospel, and we both see it the same way. You know what's going to be great? Ray, because of his experiences and his personality, his age, and everything else that goes into who Ray is going to give another facet to the diamond that I'm not able to give. Even though we're talking about the exact same thing, we are not going to be arguing over it. We're going to be relishing in it, and we're going to be giving a different dynamic to that diamond. And Adam's going to do the same thing too. Now, if Ray and I are at odds theologically, then we're not going to have that privilege to be able to do that. The best that we can hope, though, is that we both have the Spirit of God in us, that we can live in harmony, realizing that some one of us may, or both of us are wrong, or one of us is right. And at some point, we're going to be united in harmony with each other and be okay with that, as opposed to at each other's throats because we have a differing opinion. Okay, so what does that mean to us? I'm going to wind down here. It's not a very long sermon. At least I didn't think it was. What does that mean to us as a Christian? What is our experience supposed to look like? Number one, I would recommend to listen. Listen more, talk less. That's easy, especially for us sanguines. That's hard, okay? Listen more, talk less. Listen to each other. We already got what we're going to say, already rehearsed in our head while the other person's still talking. You know that, right? We're not listening. We're not really listening. I think we're afraid. I think we're afraid more than anything else. Afraid that if we don't somehow get our thought out there, that somehow this whole thing's going to implode and the Lord's not going to be able to come. That's how arrogant I believe that we are when it comes right down to it. And we all do it in the name of the Lord, too. That's what's really weird. Or can. The Bereans were commended by Paul because they did exactly what you're supposed to do when you hear something, even from Paul. You're supposed to go take it and then compare it not to all of other Paul's writings, okay? Because they weren't available anyways at the time, but they were to take it and compare it to the Pentateuch and all the other prophets and whatnot that were in the scriptures in the Old Testament that they had at their disposal. And they said, okay, Paul, we're thank you. We're going to go now. It's not a very big ego thing trip for Paul, I'm sure. We're going to go now. We're going to go check it out for ourselves. And when they checked it out for themselves, did they go back to Paul and say, the Bereans knew better. The Bereans made it their own. individually and corporately. They did not put Paul up on a pedestal and say, we worship and now follow Paul. Paul, speak to us so now that we can be enlightened and not think for ourselves anymore. Uh-uh. Anyone, it doesn't matter who it is, you take it to the scriptures, because when this whole thing is said and done, it's only going to be you and the scriptures and your experience. And then you in a huge puzzle or a collective body of individuals doing that in the same spirit, believing the same gospel and showing the power of the gospel, enlightening the world, Jesus comes back. And don't think for a second just because another Ford of Brimsmead pops up in our church that the whole thing is going to explode, that we got to separate ourselves from the church somehow. Uh-uh. It's better to be in the church and pollute, in a polluted environment, knowing that this is the church that's going to go through, than it is to step outside of it because, excuse me, there's too much smoking going in here. I got to step out for a moment. That seems reasonable, but it's not in keeping with Scripture. We are to stay in here and fight here in here for ourselves individually and then corporately. We do more good than not by doing that. And again, being sovereign, yet corporately connected. I know it sounds kind of crazy because to be sovereign seems to split yourself from the group, especially if there's a problem, whatever. No. Go to the Bible, get the truth. Listen to what the individual has to say, then make your own decisions, knowing that you really do want the truth more than you want anything else, and stick around. That's the whole point. All right. So, and lastly, remember, again, it's all about God, but it's all about you, your Bible, and the truth and the Spirit of God. That's what it's about. Not John Adolphe, not Jack Sequeira, not Jones and Wagner. It's about the truth. Truth can handle itself. The truth will prevail, okay? It's not dependent on myself in order to keep it alive. God will get this thing done with or without me. And I'm glad for that. Beware of the mold of man. Not a moldy man, but the impress of man. I think of William Miller. He was like a Winston Churchill. He did his thing, and then when it was over with, he bowed out. He had some questions. He was laid to rest 5 years later, and that was probably a good thing. And the baton was taken, and the new people that took the baton went forward and went forward with the message. He had to decrease, and they increased. My final thought is, beware of the mold of man. Know that God is in control and will get his message into us. He'll purify us. He'll purify the message without some champion creating their impression on the work. It's a steady shifting and sifting process where God will ultimately get the credit.
All right.
Father, we thank you for the song we just sang. We thank you for each other. I pray that Holy Spirit will impress our hearts. What is truth, the importance of it, and how it relates to our everyday life. I just ask that this church and also Jesus Christ becomes more relevant in our daily activities in a most positive way that accomplishes what you're setting out to do here in these last years that this earth has. In Jesus' name, amen.